Tremendous words, lovely singing tonight. Tell me the story of Jesus. Please remember some announcements. Monday night, 7 o'clock, will be the children's meeting. And we are so pleased to tell you that last Monday night, there were 17 young people here. And we're so glad for everyone who came, and do indeed pray for all the young people who come each Monday night. On Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, Roland Pickering hopes to be along again for Ministry of God's Word. That's Wednesday, 8 o'clock. And then next Sunday night at 7 o'clock, the Gospel Meeting, and Roland Pickering again will be the speaker, God willing. Thank you all for coming tonight. Just for a few minutes, I want to speak from Luke chapter 14, and then Andrew will speak at the end of the meeting. Luke chapter 14, and then we'll look at chapter 15, and then we'll look at chapter 16. Luke's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Look at verse 16 again, please. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper. A great supper. Chapter 15, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Now, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, tells us about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. We're going to look down at verse number 11. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Down to verse 18. Verse 18. These are the words of the prodigal. He was a broken man now. He was bankrupt. And he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 20. Look up at verse 20, please. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And in this portion of scripture, we have two men in life, two men in death, and two men in eternity. Very solemn passage of scripture. And these are the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19. Now, just for a few minutes, I want us to look at a great supper, a great way off, and a great gulf fixed. In chapter 14, we read that a certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many. This is a great picture of the gospel supper. And we all know that supper is the last meal of the day. I remember many, many years ago, there was a little man stood on this platform. I'm sure some of us remember William Malarchy. William Malarchy. And he was speaking on this passage. And he preached a very good message. And he looked down at the audience near the end of the meeting. And he said, friends, it's supper time. And what he really meant was, time's running out. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. And it's time to be ready. And this man made a great supper, and many people were invited. And whenever the supper was prepared, he sent out his servant to tell the people, come, all things are now ready. A lovely picture of the gospel. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary and gave his life as a sacrifice for sins, the work was complete. Calvary never needs to be repeated. His precious blood was shed upon the cross that we might be forgiven. Come, for all things are now ready. But we read in our passage that the people began to make excuse. They couldn't give a good reason, but they could make excuses. Do you know how many people today, they make excuses why they will not come to Christ? It's difficult to get people to come and listen to the Word of God. People make excuses. But what happened? The Master said, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And tonight this message can go out right across the world. There's still room. There's room and there's time for people to be saved. But the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. a great supper. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. The story of the prodigal. Here was a young man. He wanted to get out and see the world. And whenever his father divided unto his sons their inheritance, this younger boy packed his case and he headed off. This young man wanted to see the big cities, the bright lights. I can just imagine him leaving that house, going down the laneway. He was heading off for a new life. But our Bible tells us, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, everything that he had, he spent it all. And there arose a mighty famine in the land. But there was also a famine in his heart. It says, he began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And for a young Jew to be sent into the fields to feed swine, which were an unclean animal, such a humiliation. And it says in verse 16, it says, no man gave unto him. When his pockets were full, he had plenty of friends. But now his friends had all left. And it says he came to himself. He sat down and thought this over. And he said, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. There came a point in his life. This is just like repentance. Whenever a person discovers their need of a Savior, whenever they discover their sin and that they're far from God, they make that decision to turn away from their sin and to turn to Christ. And here's this young man, I can just picture him in rags and in poverty. And he arose and headed back home. And I love these words in verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I believe that every day that father, with a loving heart, he looked down the laneway and he looked as far as he could to see was there any sign of his boy coming home. You know, this is a lovely picture of the love of God. The love of God towards each one of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he came back, and when his father saw him, it says he had compassion and he ran. Can you picture this man running, gathering up his clothes and running down the lane and fell on his neck and kissed him? And he said, welcome home. Isn't it good that God is a God of mercy and a God of grace? And this young man was brought back The father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe. And you know, God can put on every person the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. Whenever they repent and put their trust in Christ, God gives them a new garment. Put a ring on his hand, that would speak of relationship, and shoes on his feet. This boy, this young man, he's going to have a different walk. He's going to have a different walk. He's going to be a new person. And that's what salvation does. And it says, and they began to be merry. And there's a lovely verse. I didn't read it, but I'll just read it now. It's in verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy in heaven whenever one sinner puts their trust in the Savior. Luke chapter 16, please. Do you know, whenever we come to speak about a lost eternity, about hell, it's a very solemn matter. The reality is that the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Why was that? I believe he spoke more about hell because he wanted to warn the people that if they did not repent of their sin and believe the gospel, that's where they'll be. And we have read tonight about this rich man in verse 19. And he was clothed in purple and fine linen. He was very prosperous. His table was laden with good food every day. At his gate, there was a beggar named Lazarus. And it says he was full of sores, possibly ulcers. It says the dogs came and licked his sores. Whether that helped him or whether that made him worse, I know not. It came to pass that the beggar died. It doesn't mention the funeral, but it says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It says the rich man also died. Death comes to every man and woman and child, if the Lord be not come. The rich man also died and was buried. I imagine he would have had a great funeral, great ceremony. I can imagine there were great tributes said at his funeral. But verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. A few years ago, we got the news of a gentleman. He lived in Portadown, a very wealthy man. He had done well in business, but he had no time for the gospel of Christ. Sometimes when he would be speaking, he would blaspheme the Lord's precious name. And I remember whenever I heard the news that this dear man had died, this verse came into my mind, just like that. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. It really touched my heart to think that that man would never have another opportunity. Then it reminds us, this passage reminds us that he had a memory. He had a memory when he was in a lost eternity. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, as if this wasn't enough, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." I have written down a few words here about the great gulf fixed. The soul in hell is beyond salvation, beyond mercy. There is no second chance. But tonight, the good news of the gospel is people can still be saved. The door of salvation is still open wide. The opportunity to get right with God is now. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. I trust that God would bless his word to every heart.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the gospel meeting tonight. You know, without you, the door would be closed. And although we mightn't have any unbelievers in here tonight, the CDs can be recorded, and you never know where someone could listen to it. In their car going to work when there's a wee bit of peace and quiet for that short time. A little word I've been thinking upon this last few days is the word behold. And if you go to John chapter 1, we'll have it here recorded. John chapter 1. The word behold, the meaning of it means to fix your eyes upon. Observe with care and see with attention. On the outset of my remarks tonight, I would just like to say, to be in heaven, you must behold the Lamb of God. You must fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he has done for you, or you will never be in a heaven, but be in a lost eternity forever. John chapter 1, it begins with John the Baptist, and it's recorded in verse 15. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And John was standing on the banks of the Jordan one day. And it says here in verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And again, the next day after, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We'll take a look at a few verses in a moment. We'll just pick them up one at a time. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know, in our world today, people don't believe that they're any worse than anybody else. Sin is something that you don't talk about. It makes them uneasy. And some will just pass on and walk on at the very words of it. They will turn their head and walk off. They don't want to know about their sin because there's great pleasures in it and they're enjoying life and life to the full. But here we have a mention in God's word about, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And you know, tonight you might be listening to this CD and you might realize, yes, I am a sinner and I'm in an awful situation in my life and I would indeed like my sins taken away or blotted out. I would love to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Well, tonight I would implore you to behold, to fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. Where do we get this words about the Lamb of God? Well, if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, we'll not take time to look at it. We read about the plagues in Egypt and the children of Israel. And the final plague that God had sent after many a plague, trying to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, he sent the plague of the angel of death to pass through the land. And he told Moses to tell the children of Israel to get a lamb and keep it for 14 days, a lamb without blemish and spot, and keep it and sacrifice it and put the blood in the basin and take hyssop and put it upon the doorpost and the lintel. And those lovely words for us tonight that are saved are recorded, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the angel of death came and it passed over those houses, but it says there wasn't one in all Egypt, from the king's palace until the slave in the prison, that there wasn't one dead. Death came. And we know in our scriptures it says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And tonight, if you ever want to be in heaven, you must fix your eyes. You must behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He was without blemish, this lamb that was taken. And so we heard a few Sunday nights ago from our brother Andy Osborne that the lamb was examined, maybe every day, to make sure that there was no blemish and no fault. And the very last day it might have been examined and taken. And they were sure that this lamb was without blemish and spot. And by faith they done what God had asked. And they sacrificed the lamb and put the blood in the doorposts and the lintel. And they were safe. They were secure. And those words were recorded again, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Right from our scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the blood is a theme of the gospel. The blood must be applied. A lamb must be sacrificed and blood shed for us to ever be in the place called heaven. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Tonight I would just put on that one, fix your eyes upon the life of the Lord Jesus. Look in scripture and see this man who was sinless, spotless, and what he done, how he healed the lame and sight to the blind. Look at his life tonight. See this spotless life. See God the Son in flesh. And examine your own life and compare the two. And see him, God, manifest in the flesh. Then in John chapter 19, we have this word, behold, again. And tonight, we are reading now about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. He was on trial and before Pilate. Chapter 19 of John, it says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that ye may know I find no fault in him. Here we have the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And here Pilate could say, I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. And if you go on up to chapter or verse 14, it says, verse 13, just for connection, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. We mentioned the Passover, the lamb shed and the blood applied to the door. Here we have the Passover time of year. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Behold the man. And behold the king. And tonight, if you're unsaved, I would ask you to behold the man. This man, who Pilate, after great a time with him, looking upon him, considering, asking him questions, questioning him, he could say, and he publicly declared it, I find no fault in this man. Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know I find no fault in him. And Pilate said, behold the man. Pilate put the Lord Jesus forth. And this great crowd of Jewish people, leaders, stood before and looked at the Lord Jesus. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And what could they say? Only crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. Away with him. A man that was sinless, spotless. One that was the Lamb of God who came into this world to go to that cross for you, that you might be saved. And I just wrote here, behold and look upon the man. Is there anyone else in this world tonight can offer you eternal life? Is there anyone else even who warns you about your soul's salvation and the need of salvation because of your sin? You know, the hymn writer says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in this world for which he died. Not a place that he can enter. You know, it's so sad every time that I present the gospel or bring someone to hear the gospel. I can't help but think that if they never accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, in the day to come they will remember what they heard. They will remember vividly and clearly when they heard the gospel and they were in that position where again Pilate brought the Lord Jesus and brought forth the man, and the decision had to be made, and they rejected the great God of eternity. What punishment you're heaping up upon yourself tonight if you're again hearing the gospel message and listening to it and putting off God's offer of salvation through his Son, this one who John could say was the Lamb of God. The one who Pilate could say, I find no fault in him. And tonight let's turn just to Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 7. Lamentations chapter 1. A few books back from our Bible, just briefly. And here's recorded such words of distress, such words to draw our attention. Search words tonight that we can behold. It says here, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see. Those words, behold and see. And you know tonight, we're asking you tonight to behold and see this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was led out to be crucified. Pilate tried to wash his hands. I find no fault in him. He got a basin and tried to wash his hands of the situation. And tonight there's people try to, as it were, wash their hands of their sin. Try to put it off, try to put it away from their mind. But you know, tonight, you must behold the man. You must look at his life. You must look at his death and behold and see if there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and died for you. And the question is in our scriptures, what think ye of Christ? You know, to leave this world and to go and stand before the great white throne of judgment and I often think and often tell people that on that day there'll be no words spoken. There'll be no words spoken. You know, today people try to blaspheme and say things about God. And as I record and I tell them that, there'll be no negotiating on that day. And as I tell them in love in my heart, the question be asked, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? What think you of Christ? And the answer already be recorded that you've rejected him. And you'll hear those dreadful, awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there any sorrow like unto my sorrow. But now tonight, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. I read it this morning. To see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, tonight to see him there taking your place and dying for your sins and realizing that your sins will separate you for all eternity in that great place of hell was a great gulf fixed. And to, by faith tonight, come and repent and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, to behold and look upon him in his sorrows on that cross for you, will give you great joy and great comfort. As we read this morning these words from God's precious word, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And I wonder tonight, as you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as you think about that death that he died upon that cross for you, I wonder tonight, just now, are you fixing your eyes upon him and his love for you? And for those tonight that are saved, we tonight again can look afresh and see and behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We were sinners on our way to a lost eternity, without God and without hope in the world. But when we heard that gospel message, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that spoke to us, awoken us from our lair, from our sin, and we seen the Lamb of God. You know, I love those words. You know, wonder to be there that day when John seen the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And he made that great acclamation, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. To have seen the Lord Jesus in his life, to looked upon him daily in his work. But to see him that day before Pilate, standing before that crowd, and the crowd shouting, away with him, and choosing a robber, an evil man called Barabbas, over the Son of God. It compels us to think of that love, that great love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Greater love, it says in Scripture, has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Tonight I'm glad I'm saved, because this world is a dreadful place, very much uncertain. Every day it's getting worse and worse, waxing worse and worse. Even the things of the world would try and put the Christian off their course, try and knock us off. And the storms come, and sometimes we feel we're on that great sea of despair, and the ships, almost the water's coming in. But we can rest assured tonight that we are in the Father's care. We are in his protecting hand, and we are being held by that one who could calm the storms of life. You know, it'll not be long until the Lord Jesus comes back. It'll not be long till we see him as he is. And I was touched last week by those words on Wednesday night by Roland, who talked about that lady who he had got the phone call one evening about a lady he had visited for many years, and her son had said that his mother had went to be with the Lord, to be in heaven, and Roland said she hadn't far to go. What a testimony. What a testimony that we haven't far to go, that we're living so close to the Lord that we're having far to go just to reach his hand, that he'll take us home. Tonight, if you're saved, rejoice in this verse and meditate upon it during the week. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold means to fix your eyes upon, to observe with care, to see with attention. And if you're not saved tonight, we'd pray that you'd behold the Lamb of God, behold the man upon that cross who died for you in such pain and agony that you might pass from death unto life. He bore your sins, the hymn writer says, and his sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and bled and died alone. Tonight I wonder, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of what he has done for you at the place called Calvary? I wonder, as you behold him now and look upon him, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, come and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Tonight let us behold the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the one who wants to be your Saviour, and rejoice tonight and find him precious and see him on that cross paying that great price for your sin. May you find Christ as your Saviour before it's forever and eternally too late. And on that day that comes in judgment, you will have to fix your eyes upon him, the one who you rejected, the one who you said no to, the one who you turned away from when he offered you such love and it was given from the Father above. So shall we pray? Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your love towards us. Scripture tells us that love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we would pray tonight, Lord, if there's somebody listening to this CD, that they might behold the man. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And realize tonight that they must look upon him. He is the one who came from heaven into this world to save them. He is the only way. He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they see him, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, taking their sins and their sorrows and making them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and bled and died alone. So, Lord, we pray tonight that someone might just respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Swing the heart's door widely open and bid him enter while they may. We ask all these things, giving thee thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.